President Obama's former top economist warns about the consequences of a U.S. debt default.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll talk with Larry Summers about debt, default, and economic stimulus. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are mixed right now. The Dow up 6 points at 12,420. The Nasdaq also a little bit higher, but the S&P 500 down just a fraction of a percent. Larry Summers in a moment. But first, we go to Minnesota, where as of this morning, the government there is shut down. State lawmakers failed to reach a budget deal. Chris Lowe is off this week. We're joined instead by Elizabeth Dunbar, a reporter with Minnesota Public Radio. She's with us live from St. Paul. Good morning.
Good morning.
So is everything shut down in Minnesota this morning?
Well, only the most essential services are still going. So like state patrol, healthcare, but about 60% of state employees are not working. So most of the government offices are shut down today.
And do those 60% not working, does that save the state a lot of money?
Well, I've been doing a little reporting on this, and no one has told me that this will save money. The state is losing revenue from things like the lottery, state parks, and there are a lot of costs associated with delays. So construction is a great example. If there are projects out there that are delayed, those construction contractors are going to go seek penalties from the state later on. And then there's also some worry about the long-term reputation of the state and whether the shutdown could affect the state's credit rating or standing among those rating agencies.
The same kinds of things we're seeing at the federal level. Elizabeth Dunbar, reporter with Minnesota Public Radio, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
The White House now says July 22nd is the deadline for Congress to agree to a deal to raise the nation's $14.3 trillion debt limit. The administration had said August 2nd was the drop-dead date to avoid a default, but officials now say it'll take Congress a couple weeks to dot the I's and cross the T's. We're going to talk about that and much more now with Larry Summers, who until late last year was the president's top economic advisor. Now he is a professor at Harvard. Larry Summers, welcome to Marketplace.
Glad to be with you.
Well, let me start by asking you about the debate that's going on over the debt ceiling in Washington. Is it keeping you up at night?
No, it's not keeping me up at night because I believe that ultimately reason will prevail. There is no alternative to the government meeting its obligations. My daughters and I may have a disagreement about how much they spend and who should pay for their spending. We don't have the option of not paying the Visa bill.
Do you think that the lawmakers are going to go right up to the limit, though, with the debate?
I wouldn't be surprised if this gets pretty far along. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a moment of tension that served to remind everybody how cataclysmic the consequences would be if there was to be a default, because they want to avoid Lehman Brothers on steroids. But I think it's essentially inconceivable that there will be a default.
Once we get past this debt ceiling debate, what would you advise the president is the next most important economic thing to focus on?
Oh, I think it's got to be job creation and demand. And that goes back to tax policy. That goes back to infrastructure. That goes back to promoting exports. That goes back to promoting business confidence.
You recently called for a new stimulus in the form of a payroll tax cut, but it's been reported over and over again that within the Obama administration, when you were in the administration, you were actually on the side of a smaller stimulus back in 2009.
Not accurately. Not accurately.
That's not true. You weren't pushing for a less than $1.2 trillion.
No, those reports are not accurate. It was my judgment as an economist that there was no danger of doing too much stimulus and that one should achieve as much stimulus as possible. There were a set of political calculations having to do with what the Congress could accept, which pointed towards the size of the program that was ultimately passed. But the economic advice that I gave was that the stimulus program should be as large as it could be.
Do you think it was too small in the end?
I think in the end, we would have been better served if there had been more push to the economy. But the choices that were made in a given political context. And I think given the slender margins of one vote by which the Recovery Act was passed, I suspect an effort to push it to a higher level might well have backfired and resulted in legislation not passing. And at that moment, that would have had catastrophic consequences in terms of depression.
Finally, you're back at Harvard now. Anything you miss about being in the middle of the storm in the administration?
I'm enjoying the fact that you can go a full day when you're not working in Washington without a moment of intense frustration. And that's been very satisfying for me. And I've felt able to keep in close touch with my former colleagues and get my views in there. So I'm very happy with the opportunity I now have to think about longer range questions.
Larry Summers, former head of the National Economic Council, now back at Harvard. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Larry Summers says we have to get real about the role manufacturing jobs will or won't play in America's economic future. You can find his thoughts on that and much more at marketplace.org. And finally, to Santa Monica, California, where the notorious mobster James Whitey Bulger was recently arrested after years on the run. Apparently, the $1,100 a month rent-controlled apartment he was living in by the beach has become a hot property. One realtor compared the influx of queries about the apartment to the calls that came in about O.J. Simpson's house. One caveat, though, the $800,000 in cash authorities found stashed in the walls of the apartment has likely been removed. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Ah, the Rockies. Fresh air, clear skies, time and space to gather your thoughts. So to the mountains we go, the Aspen Ideas Festival in, of course, Aspen, Colorado. The economy is up for discussion, as will the environment and energy policy. I'm Kai Rizdahl, Mountain High Ideas, next time on Marketplace, complete with an audience. That's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.